Fab Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It's Good Friday. And the weather in Charlotte, I'm just sitting here looking at it. And man, we got some, I think earlier in the week we were joking about this, Eric, and this is no joke now. Some of the stuff that's coming out of Charlotte, I don't think it bodes well for the Cardinals.
Hundreds and hundreds of flights have been either delayed or canceled going in and out of Charlotte.
Yeah.
And Jared Cohen, one of our key staff members here at Sports 360.
We have key staff members?
We do. We do. Okay. He is seen in an airport right now in Chicago, and they are also blanketed in snow. So when you're out and about today and it's 71 degrees, be thankful. This is why we live here.
No, what you do today is you take pictures and send them to your friends that are back there.
You're that kind of guy. I'm not that kind of guy. Clearly, you are that kind of guy.
I am not that kind of guy.
Let me guess. You caption it with, "We never have to shovel sunshine in Arizona."
Oh, no. I see. Those are lame. Those are lame. So Clark Judge is going to be with us here in a bit. The Talk of Fame host, national pro football writer, Hall of Fame voter. We've had so many guests on this week. I want to get something on a national stage from Clark. Jared Nielsen, do we have stuff from Charlotte? Do you have a map? Because if you guys missed it yesterday, when you put up a map, it just means the world's coming to an end in television world. Look at that. Yeah. We want that map to be pink and red like DEFCON 8, you know?
Maps are very common around the monsoon season here in the Valley.
So I'm on one website. It's WCNC. That's the NBC television affiliate in Charlotte. And they have 50 closing alerts. 50. And their winter storm warning goes through midnight Saturday. And here's the problem here. It's ice that they're talking about. You had a picture. Did we get that? The picture that Aaron Andrews tweeted out a short time ago. So we're starting to get some pictures in. And, We'll have it?
Yeah, we're efforting.
Efforting.
Sorry,
okay.
I was just talking in your ear. You don't know the difference between me talking in your ear and me talking on
the
air.
No, I don't even know the difference when you talk, so it's fine.
Clearly.
Just today. Freezing rain this evening, changing over to snow showers overnight. Now, you're thinking, well, I just want to talk about X's and O's. Well, here's the thing. It's 28 degrees right now in Charlotte. It feels like it's 13 degrees, and this impacts the Cardinals. Because, look, the Cardinals are not figuring to be able to run the ball to begin with. This does not have 50 to 48 written on it, does it? I mean, we had Vaccaro on yesterday. I think he said the total was 48 in Vegas. It's got to drop. Even if this passes through, I mean, look at that. That's where they are right now. That is their practice field, okay?
And that's Aaron Andrews off of Twitter, who took that picture. She's in Charlotte for Fox. So
yes, she's there for Fox.
Let's give credit where credit is due. So
and that's like 30 minutes ago, 20 minutes
ago?
Yeah,
about a half hour ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, so that's what they're practicing on, okay? David Johnson is going to come into the biggest game of his life. And David Johnson, a year ago at this time, was trying to go to the Senior Bowl. Trying. And David Johnson had problems earlier this year in hanging on to the football. Pretty easy to look at this and say, David, you're going to be a workhorse. And, you know, Andre Ellington this year has had his share of injury. Andre Ellington wants a big new contract. Well, if there's ever a time for Andre Ellington to show what he is all about and how deserving he needs to be of a big contract, okay, this is the time. I said around November, he's not going to be back next year, in my humble opinion. I had some people over the Cardinals that said, I think you're moving a little too fast on that. We like him. We don't know how much we like him, but we like him. And on Sunday, this if it stays like this, and even if it doesn't, okay, let's say this storm goes all the way through till midnight, as it's supposed to right now, tomorrow night. If it goes all that way, and there's, 57 closing alerts they have now, 19 weather alerts in Charlotte. If it goes through that, then you have to figure, even if they cover the field, because remember, the field was lousy last week. The field wasn't good. They resodded it a couple of weeks ago. So this thought of being able to throw the football, Carson Palmer played in Cincinnati. So Carson Palmer is used to playing in cold conditions. I look at this and just say, you've got to be able to run the football. There's no other way to put it. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure this out. It seems to me that the notion that they're going to throw it 30 or 40 times is slowly going out the window. You have to believe that the Cardinals coaches and staff are all looking at the weather now and saying, all right, things are going to change here a little bit. Like when we saw Seattle play Minnesota a few weeks ago, it came down to a kick. This could be a Chandler Cannizzaro game, and we know how that has been this year. And we've not sat here and talked about kickers and punters and snappers, but this is the type of game when you're trying to get to the Super Bowl. These two games are always the best because they are this close to getting to the big prize. That's why Super Bowls sometimes stink. Last year's Super Bowl was awesome. It was amazing. But many Super Bowls stink. Guys party, guys have time off, there's not a rhythm, there's nerves, there's this, there's that. But when it gets to the AFC and NFC title game, no, these games usually are everything because you're this close to getting to the big game. And now you've got weather thrown in here. And I'm not going to be one of those. I already started getting some emails from nitwits saying they should always have the conference championship games in a dome on a neutral site. No, they shouldn't always have them on a neutral site in a dome. Well, it's not fair that we have to go face this kind. These are Cardinal fans, not me. I'm not using we. It's not fair that we have to go face these kind of conditions when we're used to playing out here. No, that's what happens when you don't have the best record in the NFC. You don't get to choose where you play. You know, so a neutral site sounds all well and good. But it's not going to happen. So weather, clearly the field, it may be sunny and 40 degrees on Sunday at kickoff. That's what they're predicting. But the field itself, are we going to see a quagmire? Do you think the Panthers, I think you and I were joking about this yesterday. Whoops, we forgot to put the tarp on. Whoops, somebody turned the sprinklers on inadvertently.
Yep, sorry about those puddles in between the 20s. That's whoops. Our fault, not your fault.
Yeah, whoops, the turf's a little loose here. Whoops. If you don't think that stuff happens, you're just kidding yourself.
I can easily see Carolina just trying to play keep away on Sunday.
Oh, there's no
question.
They're
just going to go on one of those nice little 12-play, 9.5-minute drives, chew up the clock, keep the Cardinals defense on the field, mix it up with the run and the pass.
There's a Jared, if you go back over to WCNC.com/weather, there's this map that I'm sitting here toggling. You can actually move it in to certain areas. And it shows just how bad it is right in Charlotte, just how awful it is. It's pink, it's white, it's blue, there's all sorts of different colors.
But it's 48 hours before the game. By Sunday night, you would have to think, sure, it's going to be cold and it might be a little rainy, but will all of that snow and yuck be gone by then?
Can they rehab the field?
Yeah. Well, the field's covered, but again,
we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. So there's that going on. I'm not into Manning and Brady. Am I alone on this? I'm not feeling the need to see Manning and Brady. I don't know if it's because I've seen Manning and Brady because they've never played in a Super Bowl against each other, right? They've always been in the AFC. Maybe it's because I have a football game right here in my own backyard that I'm completely caught up in. But I don't know about you guys. I am not finding myself saying, boy, I got to sit there at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock and watch this game. It's not hitting me yet.
I also don't think it's going to be a very competitive game. Like, I just can't see the Broncos beating the Patriots.
It's hard to watch
I understand
Manning.
The game is in Denver. I understand that.
But it's hard to watch Manning.
How can you bet against Brady and Belichick right. in a big game? And well, you're right. If Manning can't push the ball down the field, like that stat, did you see that stat last week? The Broncos went like 19 playoff quarters without scoring a touchdown until last week.
Right.
Not good.
No, and it's games at Denver, but it's supposed to be a little windy, okay? But I don't know if I'm alone on this one, but between the weather in Carolina and then people saying, what do you think, who's going to win, Manning or Brady? I'm not going to say I don't care. I'd like to see Manning win and go to the Super Bowl and then retire. If Manning loses, this should be it for him. It's just tough. Speaking of tough, so the Suns last night. So what's the note you have from our friend Paul Coro on the Suns?
The latest from Paul Coro on the Suns is standby, loading.
Yeah.
The Suns, down to 8 players versus the Spurs, have won once in 16 games for the first time since 1977.
That's awesome.
Once in 16 games. That's like, what, a month? That's like a win a month?
So last night, Duncan didn't play. Ginobili played 6. LaMarcus Aldridge played 22 minutes and had 7 points. And the Suns lost by 20. What was it? They lost by 28.
Yeah, it was a 9-point game going into the fourth quarter.
Lost by 28.
And something bad happened in the fourth
quarter. With no Duncan, no. And here's the best part. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, or maybe I won't. Forbes magazine came out and valued the Suns. They've eclipsed $1 billion in worth. The organization is now worth $1 billion, which means when Robert Sarver bought it for $402 million and the team is completely run into the ground, doesn't matter. In fact, in the last year, the Suns' value as a franchise has gone up 10%. Of course it has. When you put a crappy product out on the floor, it should go up, right? This makes total sense to any businessman. I'm going to put lousy food out, but doggone it, we're going to go up 10% in value. Of course you are. It's so asinine. He's got the city and the state so over a barrel now. So over a barrel. I want a new building. My team stinks, but look at what I'm worth. It's like when there was a book written by Howard Cosell, and I'll get to the break in a second. There's a book written by Howard Cosell called What's Wrong with Sports, the late Howard Cosell. And every now and then I'll put on the website, or every now and then I'll put on social media, What's Wrong with Sports. Michael Beasley was a big part of that What's Wrong with Sports narrative over and over and over. What's wrong with sports? This. When you put lousy slop product on the floor, and yet you're being rewarded. And there's nothing you can do about it. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Clark Judge is next from the Talk of Fame Network on all things around the NFL playoffs. If you go to TalkOfFameNetwork.com, TalkOfFameNetwork.com, you can see all the great content that the guys put up. And we've had Clark Judge and Rick Gosling and Ron Borges on many, many times. I think today appropriate to talk with Clark, the host of Talk of Fame. And you can find that location near you that the show airs on their website, and just go to TalkOfFameNetwork.com. All right, so the Cardinals-Carolina game has now become this weather story. You weren't at the Ice Bowl, were you? Chargers-Bengals?
I was not, no. I certainly watched it on TV, but I was not there.
Yeah, and I'd love to talk X's and O's with you, but the pictures that we're seeing that are coming out of Carolina, even if it's supposed to clear by midday or earlier on Sunday, the stadium's a mess. There's all sorts of stuff going on. I think this really is an advantage for Carolina, Clark. What about you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, first of all, they're home where they haven't lost. They're the only team that hasn't lost at home, and they can run the ball, and they can run it effectively. Arizona was able to run the ball this year, but they didn't run the ball very well last couple of weeks, especially last week. I was really dismayed by what I saw against Green Bay, and I was dismayed actually in a lot of respects. I thought they looked shaky all the way around, especially Carson Palmer, until they need to make a big play, and he and Larry Fitzgerald did. But aside from Fitzgerald, it just looked like a nervous team.
Yep.
The secondary, I didn't think, played very well, and they couldn't get any rushing attack, and Palmer looked shaky, and then they survived. Now, that's the good news. But the bad news is you're going up against a team that hasn't lost at home, and you're right, is playing in an stadium right now that's got all sorts of, in an area that's got all sorts of weather conditions. That can play with your mind, especially when you're coming from a place like Arizona where I don't know what it is now, 60, 70 degrees, something like that. That can play with your mind.
Yeah, we have a picture up right now on the stream that shows the stadium there. This is not a hostile stadium to play in, I don't believe, from a fan standpoint at all. But, Jonathan Stewart, the ability to run the football, and the field was not good last week against Seattle. So you just wonder if this is going to turn the field, even if they have it covered, into slush. And just a quagmire to try to run in.
Yeah, that's right. And I've heard people over the years talk about that as to who has the advantage, for instance, in a passing game. And I remember talking to, I think it might have been Steve Young, but he said, defensive backs, people always say if you throw the ball, you're at a disadvantage. He goes, well, defensive backs have to backpedal that stuff, so they've got to cut too. But if you're able to run the ball, and that team is, but it's not just Jonathan Stewart. To me, the key is, Cam Newton. I want to force him to beat me with his arm. Now, I realize he had a great year, and he's going to be the MVP. I understand he had a great year, and he throws the ball, has thrown it effectively at times, but the key is at times. He can be erratic, and he can overthrow, he can underthrow. He will kill you with his legs. And if you can bottle him up and sort of keep him within the pocket and force him to beat you with his arm, you got a shot. If he can't, he's going to get big yards on the ground, and that's always a killer. When it's third and long, and suddenly the quarterback's flushed, and he gets that 15-yard gain or something like that. It's a killer. You can't do that with Arizona. And Carson Palmer's not a scrambler. He's a pretty accurate thrower. He wasn't last week at times, but he's going to be, or he's going to have to be better than that. But Cam Newton can beat you both ways, and to me, I want to take away his legs and dare him to beat me with his arm.
See, and I think there lies the point. If the field's bad and Carson's not a mobile quarterback, if you're Carolina, now you're saying all we have to do is protect against the pass. And that's easier said than done against this group. I get it. Right. But the Panthers are the number one scoring team. The Cardinals are number two. Yeah, the Panthers' secondary is beat up. Tillman's gone. You have Josh Norman over there. I don't know how much he's going to see fits. But if they decide we're just going to go after Carson, and I think he can pick them apart. If they drop guys, Clark, I think that he's going to have a tough time because he can't move.
Yeah, no, that's right. But keep in mind what happened when they played the Giants. I mean, Eli Manning's not exactly Steve Young.
Right.
And they were down 35-7. I watched that game. Now, they had an extraordinary receiver, Odell Beckham. But, you know, Arizona's got extraordinary receivers, too. You don't have just one. You've got three guys who can beat you. And and Eli, once he had him on their heels, and I've seen this before. You saw it against Seattle last week. But when they get on their heels, all of a sudden you've got plays to be made, and you can get them in big chunks. And that happened, you know, a big play that was missed last week was Doug Baldwin got behind everybody, and Russell Wilson overthrew him. That was a huge, huge play that was missed because there's 7 points right there. Arizona shouldn't miss those plays. Now, Russell Wilson's a lot more mobile than almost anybody out there outside of Cam Newton, so he was able to make plays outside the pocket. You've got to protect him. I would think you've got to get some semblance of a running game, if you can, and pick him apart with those receivers, because you're right. Their secondary is vulnerable. Their linebackers are brutal, but their secondary is vulnerable, and you can beat them there.
Okay, so what do you make out of Carolina giving up big leads this year? You mentioned the Giants game, and even last week, it's a team that they take their foot off the pedal. I don't know what it is about this team, but you can't have that, obviously. What do you make out of that?
I don't know. It's like they fall asleep in the second half, because it's not as if those were aberrations. It happened against Indianapolis. It happened against Green Bay. They let teams get back in the game. I don't know what goes on. It's almost like they lose focus. I'm really not sure what is the case, because all of a sudden there is sort of a residual effect, because when the defense is allowing those points, all of a sudden the offense isn't quite as effective. Now it's three and out, and it's three and out. And, you know, they can say what they want about last week's game, but they were awful in the second half. But the fact of the matter is they were exceptional in the first half, and they teamed that with a Seattle team that was asleep. I mean, I don't know what the deal was, but maybe Pete Carroll served those guys decaf in the morning. I don't know what the deal was, but they didn't wake up. And it wasn't until halftime they realized, oh, we're down 31-0. Oh, let's go do something about it. Had that game gone to a fifth overtime, there's no question in my mind who would have won that game. It would have been Seattle. But they didn't get that luxury because they gave up so many points. But you think about that, Brad. This is, to me, I mean, honestly, to me, we talk about running the game, you know, running the ball, passing it. The key here is mistakes and turnovers. Carolina forces more than anyone out there. Well, who's second? It's Arizona. So it's a perfect matchup. You mentioned, who's the top scoring team? It's Carolina. Well, who's second? Yep. It's Arizona. I mean, this is a great, great and even matchup. The two best teams, not only in the NFC, in football, two best teams out there. So to me, it comes down to who makes the mistakes, and that's what killed Seattle last week. I think they could have overcome a 21-0 halftime lead. I do. I think they could have. But the fact of the matter is, they gave them an easy touchdown on the Luke Kuechly return. That was a Russell Wilson throw that he never makes. And then he throws another interception that led to either a touchdown or a field goal. I've forgotten what it was. But there is another mistake. I think it was a field goal. There are 10 points you've just given him right off the bat. And it's you know, now it's 10-0, but it was 31-0, as it turns out, at halftime. You can't do that. So, I mean, this offense can't turn the ball over. And if it doesn't, to me, it's got a shot. I think they've got a real shot because they are covered in every area. Offense, defense, they have been able to run the ball. You've got a veteran quarterback who has to play better than they did last weekend.
Are you into Manning Brady as much as you used to be?
Yeah, oh yeah, very much. Because I live in the Northeast. I got you. Tom Brady all the time.
I got you. And maybe it's because I would like to see Manning against Brady in the Super Bowl. Does that make sense to you? I've seen Manning Brady.
Right.
So I don't know where I'm, and maybe it's because I've got a game right here in my own backyard, but I'm not seeing Manning and Brady with the eager anticipation as I have in the past. I don't know if it's because I see Manning and it's like, that guy's not even close to being who he was.
Right. I think that's part of it. I think also part of it is what you just said. You've got a team that's one game away, one win away from the Super Bowl. I mean, it's got to be electricity around Arizona. I mean, that's pretty cool. And the year you've gotten and the team you have, that's, you're excited about that team. But I see Brady every weekend up here in the Northeast, and just I marvel at what he does. I'm astonished at what he does. I don't think anyone can appreciate how good these two guys are. And for them to play again, I love to see him again. I just love seeing these two guys on the field again. You're absolutely right. Peyton Manning is at the end of his career. I don't know if he plays next year. I'd recommend he doesn't.
Right.
Yep. But I don't think he plays with Denver, and that's not exactly a revelation. But Tom Brady is playing exceptionally well, and I agree with you. Had this been the game 2 years ago, which it was, I mean, we all watched it. It was in Denver, the conference championship game. But the Patriots going into that you knew they were at a disadvantage. They just weren't quite the same. They were banged up, and they weren't quite the same. Now you've got the quarterback, Peyton Manning, who's not only banged up, he's not very good. So it's not exactly Brady Manning 17 as it is Brady versus the league's number one defense.
Yep.
And that to me is it's a great and compelling matchup because they are two of the best quarterbacks ever. But Denver has got more than just Peyton Manning. They've got the number one ranked defense, number one ranked pass defense, and number three ranked run defense.
Yeah. Who do you like in the games this weekend?
I'll take New England, and my heart says Arizona. I really want Arizona to win, but my head says Carolina. I think New England, Carolina.
All right. And that's a Super Bowl that has a lot of interest.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it'll be, you know, the young guard against the old guard. I mean, Brady going 38 for his fifth Super Bowl victory, if that's in fact the case. And then Cam Newton, the head of the next wave of young quarterbacks. And I'm not ready to anoint him the next greatest young quarterback when people tried to do that 3 years ago with RG3. Didn't work out so well there. He's had a great year, and he's going to be the MVP. But let's just rein it in and let him have a career, too. He's had a terrific season. But, you know, I would love to see Arizona win for this reason, Brad. And, again, I'm on the East. But there's just too much sort of arrogance around that organization, Carolina, without having really done anything. I mean, yeah, they're 15-1, so what? What have they won? They haven't won a conference championship game. They haven't won a Super Bowl. But they act as if they've been here many, many times before. And some people say it's exuberance. I don't know. It looks like arrogance and cockiness, and maybe that's because I'm around New England. It's a team that's been there many times before, and it's a different feel.
Last question. Kurt Warner's Hall of Fame candidacy. Did he get in this year or not?
I don't think so. But could he? Yeah, he could. And here's why. I mean, there's one available spot. Brett Favre's going to be the lock. Probably the second closest guy is Kevin Green, 160 career sacks, third most all time. Then Orlando Pace was very close last year, tackle for the Rams.
Yep.
And then we go Marvin Harrison, very close last year. There are four modern era candidates right there. You've got one spot left. That's the wild card. That's where Warner could fit in. But the problem is we've already got a quarterback, Brett Favre. Doesn't mean he can't do it. 2006, we had Aikman and Moon go in. 2005, we had Young and Marino go in. But I don't think the voters are going to want to put two in at once when they say, listen, we could get somebody else in and bring in Kurt next year or the year after. I mean, that's kind of the thinking in that room at times. I'm not saying that's the way it goes. I'm just saying what I think will happen. And now you've got someone like Tony Dungy is sitting there. Warner is sitting there. You know, people throw out Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens, to me, ain't going to make it. This year, in my mind, he would never make it. That's another conversation. But I think Warner's very, very close. If he doesn't make it this year, and I don't think he will, I think Dungy's probably the guy that'll get in. I think it'll be next year or the following year at the latest.
TalkOfFameNetwork.com. Clark is going to be in that room in a couple of weeks, along with Ron Borges, along with Rick Gosling. You can hear their content 24/7, 365 at TalkOfFameNetwork.com. As always, appreciate the time. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
It's Clark Judge there with us. Good stuff. Yeah, there's a real interesting debate about what to do with Kurt. And these guys, when they're done with their careers, they all go about positioning themselves differently because everybody around them says, look, the next step is for you to be in the Hall of Fame. It's not, boy, it would be great if you're in the Hall. You have to position yourself. Clark is a voter. Rick and Ron are voters. There's not voters everywhere. There's like 43 of these guys. That's it. Those 43 have to look at your body of work and have it be presented by someone. I'm not sure who's presenting Kurt, if anybody is this year, but to state the case, so to speak. I want to do some more weather because it's fun. Let's do that on the other side. And there's a few other things. The college games last night, I did watch some of that and much more on the playoffs. And Jordan Spieth doing some things that you start to say, I've got that story too on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. That's almost unfair for Carson Palmer. Because if he loses the game Sunday, there's going to be he couldn't get to the big game this year. And he doesn't have many chances left, right? And that's not his fault. He played on some awful teams. He played arguably for the two worst organizations in the NFL in Cincinnati and the Oakland Raiders. So while there's pressure on him to win, he's finally got the one. Who was it earlier this week? Charlie Casserly, who said to us from the NFL Network, he got one monkey off his back. Now he's got all the other ones. And that's, you know, get through the NFC title game. Get to the Super Bowl. Look, it's going to be an upset if the Cardinals win. Understand that. And I'm sitting here in Phoenix, in Scottsdale, actually. They're not supposed to win this game. Vegas has them as a 3-point underdog, and that's only because the game is at Carolina. This is about as evenly matched a game you would look at on paper. But if we come back here on Monday and I say to you, David Johnson carried the ball 24 times for 58 yards, they lost. They lost. If I say the score is 28-17, I think the Cardinals win. I think the higher the score is, the better chance they have. If Carson doesn't play well, then it's going to be, and they lose, it's going to be, well, in the postseason, they were lucky to beat Green Bay. So the narrative on Carson is going to go through some twists and turns. If they win, then obviously. For Carson Palmer, he would be the first USC, I heard this morning, he'd be the first USC Trojan quarterback to start a Super Bowl. There's been others that have been backups, but he'd be the first USC Trojan quarterback to start. Not that that means anything great other than, wow, I thought USC had some guys that had been there before. No. This week on Sunday, it's the first time ever that two quarterbacks have played each other in the NFC title game that are Heisman Trophy winners in Cam Newton and Carson Palmer. It's a kind of interesting stat to me. If the Cardinals jump out early on Cam Newton, is he doing first down when it's the 8-minute mark in the second quarter and they have the ball on their 41-yard line and he gets a one-yard game? Is he going to get up and strut down the field and do all that nonsense when all it is a first down? It's just silly, okay? And I want to hear this, well, you don't understand our generation. No, because even people I talk to in our generation that aren't in Arizona, yeah, Cam's cool because he's big, he's strong, he has a flair about him, pizzazz about him, but even that, it's kind of lame when he does that. Just go back to the huddle, dude. It's a one-yard gain for a first down. Get in the end zone, do anything you want. Don't do what Jake said yesterday. If you miss what Jake said yesterday about dropping a deuce in the end zone and then shuffling your feet like you're a dog to cover it up, that was one of the best moments I've had with Jake. And you just and I've had people say, that's really funny. We have more weather because, of course, if we have an hour-long show, we're going to show you weather for 49 minutes because you just can't get enough weather. We need another map. Oh, yeah, look at that. There we go. Now we're talking.
It's a great map.
Oh, it's a great map.
And by the way, the Jazz Wizards game has been postponed tonight. So if you were trying to get to DC to see that, it's not happening.
No Jazz Wizards, huh?
Yeah.
No. Why can't we have that type of storm here when a Suns game is on? Sorry.
Yeah.
You said this yesterday. It's not fun when they're the
it's not fun.
Punching bag of jokes.
And especially after that Paul Coro tweet.
Look at that orange that's moving in there. Is there a like a color that speaks WTF or something?
Yeah, what's orange? Is that like a wintry mix?
Mix? Is it mix?
Because rain is green.
Yeah.
I'm assuming snow is white.
I got to believe you on that one.
So I don't know what
is
red
is. Pink
would,
the wintry mix?
The people that are not watching this and actually listening back to the podcast have zero clue what we're talking about
right
now. No,
it's fine. Watch the stream. Is yellow like, I don't know, don't eat yellow snow. That's what I was told. I bet you the black is the worst. Is there like a website that explains the color ratio? I could call, look, I worked at Channel 3 for years. I call Royal Norman or April and say, you know, that's McClune's wife. Call April. Can you find April? Just have her come on for a second. I can sit here and tap dance if you can find her. Jordan Spieth is on my mind today. Jordan Spieth is not going to play here in Phoenix. Okay? He's not. And I'm sorry about that. In fact, the Open this year is not, and I'm not beating them up, but they're not going to have Tiger and they're not going to have Jordan Spieth. And the Cardinals may be in the Super Bowl. So you put all those things together and the number may not be the biggest number ever, but it's still bigger than anything else that's going on. And Jordan Spieth, he just purchased this ungodly house. Of course he did. For like $8.5 million as a 10-car garage and the basketball court and all that stuff. And I like him a lot, but yesterday in Abu Dhabi, Jordan Spieth received a warning for playing slow. And then after the round was over, he complained that his shots were, quote, short and crooked. And he's behind Rory McIlroy by 2. And I'm disappointed Jordan Spieth's not going to be here this year, okay? But I'm just looking at him and saying, all right, what's going to happen this year? Because he's handled his business just fine. Just fine. What's slow play all about? What's going on? It's something that caught my eye. U of A won last night. ASU did not win. I think by the time we see, because Eric's going to go to the Pac-12 tournament this year. You're going. By the time we get to ASU basketball at the Pac-12 tournament, I think they're going to be better. They can't shoot right now. They shot just 37%.
I was excited, though. I actually got to watch the ASU game because it wasn't on Pac-12 Network.
What'd
you
think?
It was on Fox Sports 1.
What'd you think?
Liked the efforts.
They're going to play hard for him.
They had lulls, yeah, but they had a chance, and Holder had a good look at a three at the end, and it came up a little short. But tough place to play at Cal, and it's not going to get easier because they have to go play Stanford.
And I watched the Stanford U of A game last night, and Gabe York went crazy in the mm-hmm. second half. Sean Miller's never lost to Stanford. He's 12-0.
That's amazing.
That's
amazing.
If you were to think about that, that's one of the more impressive numbers on Sean Miller's resume. You've never lost to Stanford because they are always good. Always good.
And ASU's sort of at like the point of no return now. What are they? They're 1-5
yeah,
in
one
conference?
Five. But here's the thing on that, Eric. It's the 22nd of January. The Pac-12 tournament's not till like March 8th. And he's just got to keep grinding. These are the grinded games where nobody's paying attention to them. Everybody's caught up in the Cardinals and the Super Bowl, and that's fine. Grind it for the next month. See if your team starts to come together. Weed some guys out. Play some guys some shorter minutes. Find somebody who can shoot outside. That's the biggest thing that I see with that team.
But the expectations were so high. I mean, they beat Texas A&M. I mean, everyone had
UNLV.
Them. They had them penciled in as, okay, if they can just break even in conference and win a couple games in the Pac-12, they're probably going to make the tournament because their strength of schedule and the teams they beat in the non-conference, and now they're at 1-5. And
yeah, but
is off the penny a little bit.
Sure, but I think see what they do when they go to Tucson and play. Do they lose by 30 uh-huh. like they usually do?
Always a measuring stick game down there.
Right, and then where are they at as they get towards Vegas? You'll see them in Vegas. I may go to Vegas too, depending on some things. And
they'll get screwed, though, because it'll be typical, like, they'll play at a weird time, and they'll play a team that
Oregon State.
They'll play, like, a real, somewhat evenly matched team, and the ASU will either get blown out, or they'll win or lose in, like, triple overtime. That's always how those games play out. Always.
I wish GCU were eligible this year. GCU won again last night. I was out at Marley's last night for the Cardinals thing, the Big Red Rage, and I was talking with Jeff Marley, Dan's brother. I mentioned the UNLV thing, and he shook his head. He's like, he's not going to UNLV, and Patino's name's all over that now. But Dan's having fun. Dan's getting it done. Dan's one of the better stories going on in the Valley right now that nobody's paying attention to because, obviously, the football team takes precedent. That's fine.
17-2.
Goody at the Movies is next. X-Files. I was not an X-File guy, but it's coming back, and it's right after the Cardinal game on Sunday night. They're bringing X-Files back. And I want to talk to Bill about the Oscars and Chris Rock and all that stuff. And he's got a couple movies, too. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Here's now is Goody at the Movies. We don't need to roll the intro for Goody. Yeah, we do. Of course, it's Goody at the Movies. I haven't talked to you in, 3-4 weeks? Are you mad at me? You just What's the story here? Where have you been?
I sit by the phone and it never rings.
Get out of here. What are you talking
story
about?
Story of my life.
Story of your life. Are you sick? You sound under the weather.
I have a cold. My whole family had a cold. And usually, knock wood, I never get the colds that my family sends around. This time, it got me.
Yeah, I got nailed last week, too. All right. So I'll get into the football game in a minute. Chris Rock, the Oscars being too white. The New York Post, the New York Daily News headline writers have had a field day with this. I think you've probably seen some of it. On a serious note, do you believe Chris Rock will bow out of the Oscars next month? Is he feeling pressure too? Is there a point on all this that there's not enough diversity?
Well, there is a point. I mean, it's all white for the second year in a row, which is kind of bad. And I think that and you can point to some performances that really should have been nominated, but they weren't. So I don't know. I mean, there's not a quota system or anything, so there probably shouldn't be. But but I think they do need – I think it goes back to the membership. It's a bunch of old white guys. And that has, in other walks of life, we've done a better job of sort of opening that up, and I think it needs to happen in the Academy. As for Chris Rock, I hope he doesn't bow out, because I'd love to see him work sort of from the inside out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I think these jokes are writing themselves. I saw a funny tweet the other day that said, if all the black actors boycott the Oscars, who will the cameras cut to for uncomfortable looks when Chris Rock makes racial jokes? But Rock is, I mean, he makes jokes about society and stuff. I mean, he's a topical comic. So I hope he, the only thing about that is, and he's been the host before, and you think, oh, wow, they got Chris Rock, or oh, they got Jon Stewart. Finally, somebody's going to, like, you know, really be tough and funny and all that. And they aren't, because it's a different kind of gig. You know, I mean, you're not really there to make fun of people that, as much as you are in the other jobs, maybe. And it's like a big room of, like, people you grew up watching in movies.
Sure.
And I think it intimidates some people. I don't know. We'll see if it happens. But I sure hope he doesn't bow out.
Are you doing a special event this year?
I don't know.
You don't know?
We're working on it.
All right.
No.
All right. Let me know.
Probably ought to start planning it.
I just want to get an invite. So does Eric. That's all. I don't really care if you are or you're not. We just want to be there in the room. So
you're always on the list.
That's great. It's just the list gets cut from the bottom up. 45 years. Okay, what is 45 years about? Is this movie any good this weekend?
It's really good. It's about Charlotte Rampling, who got her first ever Oscar nomination. She's been acting forever and made some controversy, by the way, when she said that that this is sort of reverse racism to insist that black actors should have been nominated. By the way, it's not just a black and white issue. I hate to keep going back to this, but Benicio del Toro clearly deserved a nomination for Sicario. He was great in that. And this is a guy who's won an Oscar before. So, I mean, but anyway, this movie is about, it's really cool. She and her husband are going to celebrate their 45th wedding anniversary. And like a week before, he gets a letter in the mail that his former girlfriend from like 50 years ago, who died in a mountaineering accident with him, had her body's been uncovered, frozen, completely preserved. Just like she looks almost like she does. And it messes them all up. Mm. It messes with their heads. And it's quiet and it's small, but it's really good. And she definitely deserves the Oscar nomination that she got. And I interviewed her, but of course this is before all this controversy and everything. So she's really interesting to talk to. She's done a lot of cool stuff, and she's kind of weird in a kind of a cool way. But it's a good movie. And this is the time of year where, for instance, the movie Dirty Grandpa. They set a screening for, I don't know, Tuesday night or something like that. And then they sent around a thing nationwide that said there will be no screening of this movie. So you kind of know what's up with that.
That means it blows. Don't go see it. Right?
I think that's what it means.
And
Robert De Niro is in it.
Yeah, I know. X-Files is being relaunched, and it's right after the Cardinals-Carolina game. I was never an X-Files guy. It wasn't that I didn't dislike the show. I'm just one of those guys, I have too much going on, I never watched it. I mean, maybe I should go watch Netflix, but this is coming back, and this is a big deal, right?
It is. I love The X-Files. Yeah. I've seen every episode at least two or three times, I would imagine. And it started before, I used to be a TV critic before I was a movie critic, and it started before I was a TV critic, but my TV critic time coincided with, you know, when it got really good. And, man, that was one of those times where it was like, it's kind of like, you know, going to one of these great games. It's like, I can't believe that this is my job. I get paid to do this, you know. I loved it. And the they're bringing it up back for six episodes, and I've seen the first three. The first one is terrible, the one that they're going to show. And the biggest audience is going to be Sunday night because it's after this game that everybody's anticipating, not just here, but the whole country has been anticipating all season long.
Right.
So they're going to get a huge audience for the game. As they always do, people, you know, they're lazy. They're going to stick around. They're going to say, oh, the X-Files is back. I think I'll watch it. And it's awful. But the one they're going to show Monday night when they get back to the series is better. And the one they show the following Monday night is the best of it. It's a really actually good one.
So you've seen all three of these?
You've got patience.
You've seen all three of these?
Yes, I've seen three of the six. They sent us three of the six.
Shoot them over to me so I can watch them. I don't, you have to give up your membership or something. But
No, if you want to become an X-Files fan, I can send you a list of 10 episodes to watch on Netflix.
My wife is making me watch MASH reruns now, which is fine.
Oh, I love MASH.
No, I do too.
Except I only love MASH up to the point where Henry Blake left. When he left, I thought it wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Henry Blake is one of my cultural heroes. And I think, sort of like Homer Simpson, I should probably aim higher. but I think they're both like really well-meaning people who don't always do the right thing. But man, I think McLean Stevenson, for the rest of his life, probably wishes he'd hung on for a couple more seasons before he, because he left in like a contract dispute.
Yeah, I did.
And, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know all that stuff.
We're totally going random here, but before I get you out of here, just to follow on that, I had Gary Berghoff in studio when I was back doing radio here in Phoenix, and he was. He was pissed that I was asking him questions about Radar. He was there to pitch a book. It's like, you're Radar, dude. I'm sorry. Well, that was a character a long time ago. Blah, blah. Okay, leave the studio then. If you're going to be whiny about it, that's who you are. So I'm sorry.
I get that sometimes, but I think they also have to understand, look, the only reason you are here is because you were Radar. I talked to Chris Pine once, the actor who plays Captain Kirk in the new Star Trek reboots, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking about him for a different movie, and he said, I am under no illusion here. If it wasn't for Star Trek, we would not be having this conversation. And that was kind of refreshing.
No, that's good. That's good. Who do you like Sunday? Cardinals, Panthers?
Oh, Cardinals. I mean, but I like the Cardinals. I mean, I genuinely like them. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
Sort of maybe voting with my heart and not my head.
That's fine. That's fine. You're into fandom. It's fine. I got to let you go off that. I'm out of time.
All right.
See you next week. Get better.
I'll try.
All right. It's good to eat the movies. Sports360AZ.com. That was a really cool segment. Weather Girl trying to figure out colors of maps and Goody.
Yeah. I love when you just throw people out in the ocean without anything. And we're like trying to explain to April. And you can tell she's frantically trying to bring it up
awesome.
On her laptop. Like, I don't know what you're.
Well, that's why
you don't know what you're talking about. Therefore, I don't know what I'm talking about.
The colors of maps in Arizona are pretty straightforward.
But we don't ever see colors like that unless it's way up in northern Arizona.
Yeah, we don't see that stuff. It's fine.
Yeah. Rain and sunshine.
That's all we do.
That's it.
So
here's today's weather. Hot. Here's tomorrow's weather.
Hotter.
Sunny.
Damn hot. Stinking hot.
Mostly sunny.
Mostly hot.
Scattered clouds.
Thanks very much for playing.
Yeah.
Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website. You know, we do pro, we do college, we do high school, we do a television show over on Fox Sports Arizona. Our show is streamed over on the Arizona Republic side, AZ Central Sports. We go all over the place. We're working on some more concepts, too. Eric likes it when we throw 10 balls in the air. And for 4 years, we've had 10 balls in the air.
Correct. Now we have like 13.
It's fine. It's fine. I like to tell people we are the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. That's what we are. That's who we are in this world of sports. Thanks for being with us.